So this is Psalm 4. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Amen.
And for Nathan, I really appreciate your prayers. I'm looking forward to see how God is going to speak to us this evening from Psalm 4. Before we do that, let's close our eyes and ask God's help. Dear precious Father, we are so thankful and we are so humble, dear Lord, here in your presence. And we know, Lord, that we need you. We need the Holy Spirit of God to come and speak to our hearts. And I just pray, Father, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may be our teacher this evening. I pray, Father, Lord, that you may please open the eyes of our hearts, that we may behold the wondrous things out of your law. Help us that we may see what you are teaching here in Psalm 4 this evening to us. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty and strong name. Amen. What steals your joy? Have you ever thought about this question? What are the things in your life that take your joy away? Or what are the practices in your life that forfeit your peace and sleep sometimes? According to the Economic and Social Research Council, 1 in 10 people in Britain regularly takes some form of sleeping tablet. Last year, 15.3 million NHS prescriptions were made for sleeping medication. In 2006, Forbes magazine published an article called The Sleep Racket, detailing the billions we spend on mattresses, pillows, herbal sleep aids, bath soaks, and other products each year to aid our sleep. Of course, some people may have some other health issues and they would need some help with sleeping aid. But what about those who are healthy? What about those they don't have any other health issues, but what causes anxiety to them? Why they lose their joy and peace, and in some cases lose their sleep? For some of us, it may be worries and concerns of life that we cannot control. Or maybe we struggle to refuse to accept what God has given us. Or for some of us, we look for peace or joy elsewhere. Or it can be a habitual sin in our life that steals our joy and peace away. In Psalm 4, verse 8, if we please look into this verse, verse 8, it says, "In peace I will both lay down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Here, David reminds us that he can lay down and sleep because he makes God his safe place. He can both lay down and sleep because his source of joy is the Lord. He can both lay down and sleep because his source or safety is the Lord. Because David trusts in the Lord for his joy, peace, and safety, it supersedes his worries, concerns, and fears. It depends in our lives as well whom we trust for our joy. Where we look for peace, we will talk more about this in a moment. And some commentators believe that Psalm 4 shares the same historical background of Psalm 3, but we are not sure. It is a possibility that Psalm 4 was written around the same time when David flee from Jerusalem because his son Absalom rebelled against him and threatened to overtake his kingdom. We read this in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and 16. But it is clear from Psalm 4 that David wrote these words in his distress, pain, and misery. This psalm was written to the chief musician, a choir master, and it was sung in a spirit of worship, perhaps not once, but multiple times. We can summarize Psalm 4 in this sentence. The Lord has set apart the righteous. He listens to their cries and provides joy and peace that wealth cannot provide. We will unpack these verses in 3 points this evening. First of all, we will look at David's cry to the Lord. Secondly, David's advice to his enemies. And third point will be David's confidence in the Lord. So let's see verse 1. Here we see David's cry to the Lord. David writes, "Answer me when I call. O God of my righteousness, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Here we notice David's passion in this verse when he prays to God. He starts and ends the verse with cry. "Answer me when I call," and he ends, "hear my prayer." His cry is not mechanical. He is not going through the motion of prayer with empty words. He needed God's attention to his present problem and cries to the Lord with passion and boldness. His boldness does not depend on his righteousness boldness depends on the righteousness of God, because he writes in the second part of the verse, "God of my righteousness." David is saying, Lord is his righteousness. He did not inherit the righteousness of God, but he derived the righteousness of God. He acknowledges that he is not worthy. He is sinful, weak, and wicked. But the God who he is praying to made him righteous. Because of the righteousness of God, he can boldly pray to him. He can pour his heart to him and bring his situation to the Lord. Likewise, you and I, we can go to the Lord and pour our hearts with passion and boldness, not because there is something special about us, not because there is something great in us that is not in other people, but we can simply pour our hearts to God because he has credited his righteousness on us when we trust in God, when we take him as our personal savior. We read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The word of God says, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In this scripture, Paul explains the heart of the gospel, how God has reconciled sinners like you and me to himself through Jesus Christ. The righteousness that is credited to our account is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we put our trust in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, we become the righteousness of God. In the second part of the verse, in Psalm 4, David brings God's past mercies to his attention. He says, You have given me relief when I was in distress. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. He remembered God's goodness when he was in distress in his past. Here, distress here simply means to be in a tight place, cornered or trapped. Here, David pictures himself as one who is in a tight spot. He felt himself to be squeezed in a corner and under pressure. Another translation says, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." David is saying when he was under pressure in a tight spot, God expanded him or increased him in the midst of his trials. He might be thinking how God filled his heart with peace when Saul was after his life, or when he fought Goliath. He acknowledges God's mercy and faithfulness from his past experiences and recognizes that the same God is able to help him in his current situation. He is saying, if God can help me and protect me from King Saul or Goliath, he's certainly able to protect me from Absalom. Dear friends, in our prayers, it is effective to remember and acknowledge what God has done for us in the past, to remind ourselves what he has done in the past so he is able to do it in the future. Secondly, we also see that David takes his situation direct to the Lord. He does not seek help from someone else, but cries to the Lord. Likewise, when we go through challenges and tests and trials in our lives, God should be the first person we speak to, not the last person. In the midst of our challenges in life, we should run towards God, not run away from God. He writes, "Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Here we see that David is asking these words, and he is not demanding something from the Lord, but he is asking it in a humble way. It is true that God does not have to give something to us when we are asking to him. He doesn't owe us anything, but we should be asking God in a humble way. We should be asking God for our prayers, bringing our supplications to him, that we should be asking God, "I don't deserve that, but I know that you are able to work in this situation. You are able to provide what I am asking you." Sometimes as Christians, we have this idea that because I am a Christian, I am a believer, I go to church, I pray to God, I read my Bible, so God owe me whatever I ask him. Sometimes people, they reject praying to God or going to church and doing God's things when the prayers are not answered the way they are looking for. But my dear friends, we see that God is gracious. He is ever loving. But when we go to God, we shouldn't be thinking that what I am asking, that is the best thing for me. But we should be asking God, do in this situation what is best for me. What God thinks is best for me is the best things for us. Now we move on to our second point. What is David's advice to his enemies? Sorry, I forgot to do that. David's advice to his enemies. And this is we find in verse 2 and 3. The word of God says, "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" In these verses, David asks a question probably to those who were paying attention to Absalom's cause. He asks them, how long will you love vain words and seek after lies? He asked them, how long will you give ears to those false accusations against me? And reminds them in verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Even though David made some wrong choices in life, he sinned against God, his wife, and his children, but he did confess his sin to the Lord. He writes in Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. David was anointed by God to lead his people. So he asked this question to his adversaries, O man, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? And reminds them that the Lord has set him apart, that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. Sometimes we set some things apart for our use. There are different reasons we set things apart. For example, our favorite mug at home that we like to drink our tea or coffee in that mug, or the pen that we like to use and we don't want others to use that pen, or any book or a racket or something that we really like and we set it apart for our use only. We don't want others to touch it. There are things we set apart for purity, so it is not contaminated. We use them for a special purpose, for a special time. Likewise, David reminds us here that God has set apart the godly for himself. God has set us apart for his service. God has set us apart to honor him with our lives. He has saved us from something for something. In other words, God has saved us for a purpose. He has not just saved us to keep us out from hell, but he is keeping us on this earth for a reason. If we think about our lives individually, do we think that we are set apart our lives? We have set apart our lives for the use of God. Have we set our lives in a way that honor only God? And do we live the way that honor God only? So this is a question that we can ask ourselves, that David puts us here, that God has set apart godly for himself. As there are some things that we need to look into our lives, that those do not bring honor and glory to God. Are there any things or any habits, I have said earlier, some habitual sins sometimes that can take our peace, our joy away, that just because we are practicing things, those are not bringing honor and glory to Lord, and it is the cause of taking our joy away from us. In verse 4 and 5, David speaks to his associates. He says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. He speaks to those who were questioning why David was going through these trials. He says to them, be angry and do not sin. In the context of this psalm, it means tremble or shake in the fear of the Lord so as not to sin. Another translation says that stand in awe and sin not. The name of the Lord is given a great reverence and respect by the Jews, that they tremble to name it and use the name Adonai in all their devotions. David encourages them not to take the name of the Lord in vain, but only to sing praises and honor and exalt his name on high, because he is worthy of our praise. In the next part, David says to them, instead of taking the name of the Lord in a sinful way, meditate on God's word and be silent. It shows us divine work that when we go to bed, it is not all for sleep, but to ponder in our hearts, be silent, and commune with God, asking God's counsel and his help. Pondering in our own hearts on our beds also signifies the time when we are away from the world, the noise and the busyness of life, that we spend those moments with the Lord. In Psalm 94, verse 19 tells us, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. It gives us time to reflect on our day or on our lives when we are in our bed, so we can ask God's counsel and let God cheer our souls. It also shows us to meditate on God's word and goodness rather than keep worrying about our circumstances. And I believe that going to bed is the time sometimes that we keep on thinking about worries. We keep on thinking about what happened today, what happened at work, what happened in our relationships. We keep on thinking about all those thoughts, and rather than it helps us thinking about those, we worry more. And then we come up to the point where we are not able to sleep, and it takes our joy, our peace, and our sleep away. But David says that spend those moments on meditating on God's word. Spend those moments when you are in bed thinking about your life. How is my walk with the Lord? What God can teach me from today? And how I can ask God's help that he can help me in this situation, rather than trying to find out solution for ourselves. We read in verse 5, he writes, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. And of course, David knew the importance of observing sacrifices. Those were in the Jewish tradition. But he emphasized to put trust in the Lord. In the same way, sacrifices for us would be going to church, giving our tithes or offering to the church, but it could not replace to trust in God. We cannot gain God's favor by going to church or giving tithes to the church. It is possible to observe religious sacrifices and putting our trust in religious duties rather than in God. But when a religious observance and our trust in God is combined, it draws us near to God and help us to worship him the way he deserves. David is saying to his audience, offering sacrifices to the Lord is important, but trust in the Lord during trials is even more significant. We can move on to our third point. That is David's confidence in the Lord. David's confidence in the Lord, and we find this in verses 6 to 8. Here David writes, there are many who say, who will show us some good. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. And here David is addressing to God, who will show us some good. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O God. We read this in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26, where God commanded Aaron, the priest, to give his blessings to the nation of Israel. In these words, he writes, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we read this in Psalm 4 that David changed these words, and he prayed to God in his own words using the same concept. And he reminds himself and his first audience with the confidence that God will make his face to shine upon us. In the next verse, he writes, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In that culture, grain and wine represented their economic stability. They would celebrate their harvest when eating with eating grain and drinking wine. It was the time of celebration because of the increase in their wealth. But David says the joy that God has given him in his heart is far better than the joy others get based on their economic stability. He says his joy is not based on his circumstances, but in the Lord. No one can steal his joy because it was first placed by the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Joy, peace, and hope, these are the three marks of a Christian life. Only God can fill us with joy, peace, hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice, God only grants joy, peace, and hope when we believe and trust in him. And we can ask the same question to ourselves as David asked to his audience, that they found their joy in the wine, in the increase of the wine and the grain. And where do we try to find our peace and our joy? Does our joy and peace increase when we have more money in our account, or when we have all the luxurious things of life? Does it bring joy and peace to us? Or our relationship with the Lord brings more joy to us? Or do we look for the joy and peace from God and to bring this in our heart? In verse 8, David writes, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Notice the word both here. Not just lay down in bed, but David says that I will both lay down and sleep. He did not need any aid to go to sleep because God has filled his heart with peace. He was able to sleep well even when he was distressed. He was able to do that because he found his safety in the Lord. To close this message, can I ask, where do you find your joy and peace in the midst of trials and troubles of life? Where do you look for help? We talked about the sleeplessness of modern society, and many look for help through sleeping aid or medicine. Others try to find peace and satisfaction in money or materialistic things in life. But the truth of the matter is that we can only find the true joy, peace, and everlasting safety in the person of Jesus Christ. We can only enjoy the peace of God when we keep looking onto Jesus and not on our circumstances. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, we read about a man who created history by walking on water. The Bible tells us when Peter saw the Lord walking on water towards him on the boat, he said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus affirms, come. Peter immediately gets off the boat, leaving the other disciples behind, and he proceeds to walk towards the Lord. However, the problem starts when he starts looking at the wind and huge waves around him. He begins to sink into the water and cries, Lord, save me. Like Apostle Peter, we can face the trials and troubles of life as long as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and do not let the fears distract us from following God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we spend in your word, Father, Lord, learning from Psalm 4. I just pray, dear Lord, that help us, that we may not
look on our situations, our trials, what we go through in our life, but we just look on you, Father, Lord, and we just focus our eyes on you and look on and concentrate on you and see how mighty God you are, who is the creator of this world. And Father, Lord, the amazing work that you have done on the cross of giving us salvation, providing us the way that we can be reconciled back to God, that help us, it may help us to think about that you are able to do anything in our life. You are able to provide for us, and you are able to work in our situation, in our trials, and in our circumstances. And I just, Father, Lord, pray that you may please bless this word that was preached. It may settle in our hearts, and it may help us to walk closely to you and bring our life for your honor and for your glory. We ask in Jesus' mighty name.